Welcome to the Pepin Podcast on major themes in physical education research. This is episode 93 and explores chapter 6 of Daniel Memmott's book, Teaching Tactical Creativity in Sport, Research and Practice. This week I'm delighted to be the practitioner responder, and I hope my reflections come up to the standards set by those who have gone before me. Assessing tactical creativity. The recurring question in education, or perhaps that should be schooling and elite sport, is how do I measure that? Tactical creativity, the stuff of legends, currently exists as an ethereal and fragile notion or idea, and yet to gain currency it needs to be measured, and that, to me, is where some of the problems start. Measurement is part of the mainstream in education, and yet to measure tactical creativity is not an easy task. It is, as Memmott suggests, more difficult than normal assessment, and implies a bigger effort than simply clocking the 100-metre time of a sprinter. To operationalise the assessment of tactical creativity, it is important to consider its constitutional characteristics, i.e. originality, flexibility and fluency. The big questions are, though, what are these and how do you begin to assess them? Memmott defines originality as the exceptionality of solutions, flexibility as the diversity of action/answers, and fluency as the number of tactical solutions generated. Put more simply, the tactically creative come up with a large number of diverse and previously under or unconsidered action/answers that work. That said, it's not just about number, but also about the variability of these solutions. Memmott argues that while a player can come up with a large number of solutions, they may all focus on one skill or piece of tactical understanding, i.e. a pass feint. Is this tactical creativity? Alternatively, a player may come up with fewer solutions, but these might be drawn from a much wider array of options, i.e. no-look passes, dummies, feints, etc. The pedagogical skill, therefore, is not just in looking for the skill itself, nor the number of solutions, but their diversity and chances of success. The next question, though, is how do you assess tactical creativity? Memmott offers three possible means of assessment: game observation, game test situations, and standardized via the blog exploring these. Game observation. This, I would suggest, is the most familiar of the three means of assessment and forms an integral part of most professional setups. Game observation, much of which can be automated now, seeks to quantify the frequency and success of specific actions and is now able to assess tactical creativity. It is used in professional sport to count individual tactical components such as pass success rate, pass direction, touches per individual ball possession, the number of long passes and crosses, etc. With the correct programming, such technological solutions can recognise creativity and identify, for example, rare combinations of several difficult direct passes or no-look passes which lead to a goal. Game test situations. Memmott likens these solutions to his one-dimension games, and suggest that these are simple game forms with clearly defined game ideas, fixed number of players, defined rules, and consistent environmental conditions. The emphasis in these types of games, however, is not on technical skills, but on tactical behaviours. It is easy, and probably quite familiar, to focus on what players do physically, but this takes away from the desire to exclusively assess the intended tactical actions of the player. The game situation itself should be defined enough, with fixed numbers of players, fixed rules and a fixed environment, to allow the player to make multiple attempts in very similar situations. In this way, their tactical creativity is tested rather than their skill and adaptability. Standardised video tests. These tests require players to watch a sport-specific video for a certain period of time, i.e. 1 minute, before the video is frozen. Players then imagine themselves as the ball holder and describe what they would do moving forwards to create an opportunity to score. Players should be encouraged to mention the types of skills they would use, i.e. passes with a non-dominant hand, bounce passes, etc., and the originality, flexibility and fluency of their answers should be assessed. Tactical creativity is not your usual run-of-the-mill element of team games and racket sports taught in schools, and as such it needs creative means of assessing it. That said, and as I wonder at my response to this blog, are the solutions that Memmott offers usable and desirable in schools and youth sports settings? Practitioner response by me. I have backed away from writing a response to my own blog, but a desire to talk back to this week's chapter has prompted me to take up the reins again. At the heart of my desire to respond is my belief that, of all the chapters of this book to date, this is the one furthest removed from practice. With the exception of the game test situations, these forms of assessment measurement seem out of context and divorced from the realities of most, if not nearly all, settings where young people learn. To date, I've been swayed by some of the arguments in the book, but find a huge disparity between the research findings reported in this chapter and the everyday lives that teachers and coaches lead. In many respects, it reminds me of the early days of Dartfish in schools, where hours and days of lessons were given over to the analysis of short video cuttings from games in the hope that children might learn something. The only thing they learnt, and their teachers and coaches alongside them, was there a reason why professional teams hired video analysts on a full-time basis? The need and argument for tactical creativity, indeed creativity of any kind, seems to be a well-reasoned one. The need for detailed game observation and standardised video tests is much less clear. If the assessment of tactical creativity is important, then we must find ways of doing it that are, well, doable. We need to be careful that we don't lose our way and start to value what we assess. Instead, we must assess what we value and what keeps the player, young and old, interested. We must not bury ourselves in professional ideas of performance, but remain ever alert to new ideas that can be used to enhance learning. Overt and overly long forms of assessment should not replace deliberate practice and deliberate play. Children and young people should be allowed to enjoy the game and not be subject to adult, professional adult in fact, forms of assessment. They are not mini adults, they are not professionals who must give 100%, but are young learners who should be allowed to find joy in learning. In short, we must be creative in our assessment. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, to your experiences? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Peppin podcast, where I'll explore the 7th chapter of Daniel Memmott's book. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this blog and podcast and in getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.